Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This is the audio version of our live Sunday morning gathering. To view our live Sunday morning gathering, go to pcctoday.com.
The blessed life. That's what we're talking about today, the blessed life. And we're continuing our series. This is week two. Congratulations, you made it. And it's going to be a great topic, and we just believe that we don't shy away from talking about really any subject, but especially money. When we live in a culture that's talking about money all the time, we believe the church has a voice on it, and in fact, Jesus has a lot to say about our offerings and our tithes and our money, and ultimately, really, the goal is that you would and I would understand how to be good stewards, that you and I are entrusted with resources, and we are responsible with how we steward our money and really every area of life. Well, as we get started this morning, I want to start out with a quick story. When I was in college, I went to a friend's house, and his dad was the DYD of Washington for a while, and he actually became the national DYD. And before that, he was a youth pastor. And he was telling us a story about the very first pastoring job he ever interviewed for. He had just graduated from Northwest. At that time, it was Bible College, but now it's university. He had just graduated, and he is just married, very young, really excited, and he was trying out to be a youth pastor. And he went for the whole weekend. It was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of deal. And he met the pastor, he met the staff, he met the deacon board, and he was going through interview after interview after interview. It was all weekend long. And he was exhausted, and it was Sunday after church, met everybody, and they were feeling pretty good, pretty excited. And after the service, the pastor invited him into the office and his wife, and they talked for a few moments, and just before they're getting ready to leave, and he's thinking, well, did I get the job? Did I not get the job? And he said, hey, one more, and he said it, test. And he was like, oh my goodness, what else could we do? And he says, show me your car. I'm like, oh my goodness. So they get out, and he walks him all the way to his car in the parking lot, and he says, I want you to open your trunk. And he's like, oh man, where's this going? So he opens his trunk, the pastor looks in and walks away. And he said, where are you going? And he goes, the pastor says back to him, he says, oh, don't worry, you passed. What do you mean I passed? And he goes, I never hire anybody that has a dirty trunk. And apparently his trunk was clean enough. So we hired him. And I remember thinking, that has got to be the craziest story I've ever heard. And he assured me it was true. But what's interesting about it was this person was in the middle of a test he had no idea he was taking. It's kind of one of those fears that you and I have, maybe before when you used to go to school, maybe some of the students have this, of walking into a classroom and the teacher says, test today. And has anybody ever had the feeling of your stomach just dropping and you recognize, I had no idea that a test was happening? One of my basketball friends, we were at Northwest, he actually walked out of the class. Teacher says, hey, there's a test today. He just got up and left. And I saw him at practice and I said, hey, where'd you go? And he said, I wasn't ready. I had no idea there was a test. And I said, so you just walked out? He said, yeah, absolutely. I said, how'd that work out? What are you going to do? And he goes, beg for mercy. I'm like, okay. Well, I mean, we all have different strategies in life. But apparently his was just walk away and see if it works out later. But what we don't recognize, I think, oftentimes in church, maybe as Christians, is that there's a test. It's actually a two-way test. And we're going to talk about how you and I, whenever you get paid, you're taking a test. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Malachi chapter 3, and we are going to read God's word, and we're going to see that this test is not just a one-way test, it's a two-way test. And so here's what it says. Let me get our Bible. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Malachi chapter 3. We're in verse 6. We're going to be reading out of the NLT. If you don't have your Bibles with you, that's okay. You can look up on the side screens. And this is what it says, Malachi 3, 6 through 12. It says, I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Isn't that the most interesting way to open up a sentence? It's a good news I don't change because you'd be dead by now if I changed. What's he saying? My goodness and my love is always available. And it's a good thing I am so good because you're not being good. Verse 7, ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to, what is that word right there? Obey. Can we say that out loud? 1, 2, 3. Obey. Obey. You failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. There's hope right there in that verse. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God, yet you have cheated me? In other words, they have no idea that they're failing a test right now. You ask me, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? And this is what he says. You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the what? The test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. There's a test. And in case you're brand new with us, maybe you haven't heard about church, or maybe you're just starting to follow Jesus, and you're like, what? There's a test? What kind of faith is this? A faith that will bless you as you obey and pass the test. A faith that is worth giving your life to. Now, this is important. Way more important test than is your trunk clean or not. God's test is not only fair, it's not only clear, but here's the big idea this morning if you're taking notes. God's test has a purpose for your life. God's test has a purpose. So what is God's purpose in the test? I'm going to give you three purposes. The first one is this. Tithing tests your gratitude. Tithing tests your gratitude. A test for what, you might be asking, who will you thank? When you get a paycheck, who do you thank? When you get accolades, who do you thank? When you succeed in life, who do you thank? In 2018, there was a famous rapper named Snoop Dogg. Maybe you've heard of him. He was receiving his Hollywood Walk of Fame star, and his name would be etched in the concrete for years and years to come. And his speech of gratitude went like this. I want to thank me for believing in me. I'm not making this up. You can YouTube this later. I want to thank me for doing all this hard work. I want to thank me for having no days off. I want to thank me for never quitting. I want to thank me for always being a giver and trying to give more than I receive. I want to thank me. Anybody else just like try not to throw up? Okay. I want to thank me for trying to do more right than wrong. I want to thank me for being me at all times. And then last but not least, you guessed it, I want to thank me. I'm sorry. But is that not the opposite of the gospel? Is that not the opposite of everything we're talking about today? But the problem is, if we're really honest, we do want to thank ourselves. I did put in the work. I did save. I did invest that money the right way. And we may not say it just like that, but here's where it comes out. When you did a good job and no one said, well done. When you proved yourself for year after year after year and the person who just got in got a raise and you didn't. Nobody's appreciating me. Nobody's thanking me. Or maybe we'll get a little more personal. When you do something around the house and you clean the floors and your spouse doesn't say, oh, that was beautiful. Never seen floors so clean. Or you take the garbage out and you're like, see, see. When we tithe, it's a test of your gratitude. Who do you thank? And why do we thank God? Because it all belongs to Him anyways. And there's a strong warning, and I'm trying to have a little fun so we can digest it, but there's a really strong warning in verse 9. Did you catch it? That when you don't treat things as a steward is someone who says, this has been entrusted with me. It's not mine, I'm entrusted with this. Therefore, I will manage it the way that the person who actually owns it all wants me to. That's what a steward does. In verse 9, this is the warning when you think that these resources are actually yours. This is what happens in verse 9. Here's what it says. A curse is upon you. It says this, the Lord owns it all. He has entrusted you with stewardship. If you don't tithe, you have stolen from God. You put yourself under a curse. Whoa! That get a little heavy? Real fast. And so what can happen is right here is you could be like, oh my goodness, did I not tithe? Oh Lord. You know? Now I want to make sure we balance this up with grace and truth. Okay, so the truth is we do need to tithe. The grace of this is that you have, if you haven't been tithing, if you've been neglecting this, you can break the curse by tithing and by giving and by being generous. But I want to illustrate this word curse for us in a way that I hope will help you understand. In 2005, I had just started a job at a church, and one of the ladies came in, and she said, she worked at the church, she was a single mom with two boys, and she said, I need some help putting oil in my car. I tried to put some oil in, and the check engine light keeps coming on. I'm not sure if I'm doing it right. Could you just come check it out? So me and this other pastor, his name is Pastor Russ, we went out there, and she opened up the hood, and we looked, and there was black all over the top of the engine. And we're going, what is this? Is the dirtiest engine we've ever seen. And she goes, yeah, so here's what I've been doing. It says put oil in the engine. So what I've been doing, and she started to do this again. She took the oil off, and she's pouring it over the top of the engine. We're like, stop, stop. It says to put oil in the engine. I'm putting oil in the engine. What is wrong? I want to ask you a question. Was it wrong? But a more important question, should we blame Toyota for what happened? The car's going to break down and seize. Is it Toyota's fault that this car didn't run forever? There was an owner's manual in the glove box that shows exactly how to do this. Whose fault was it for the way they put oil in? It was hers. God has an owner's manual for you and me. God has been talking to us with grace and love. We can't say, I didn't know at this point. God is saying, if you would trust me with just the 10%, I own everything. I've given you just everything that you have. I want you to just everybody look at me just for a second. I want you to take a deep breath. Now, don't hold it too long, you'll pass out. Just breathe. Who gave you that air? Somebody like, I did. No. Everything's the Lord's. And so when we read this word curse, all it is saying is there is a consequence when you don't live your life according to God's plan. That's all it's saying. This is the way it operates. This is the way it works. It's just like when you teach your kids, if you stick your hand in a fire, you're going to get burned. You can't blame the fire. And the same thing is true in our resources. Isn't it? Have you ever met somebody that's just like, oh, the enemy's after me again? Why?
Well, I didn't pay my bills and they're going to kick me out.
Well, is that the enemy or is that you just didn't pay your bills? There are consequences or a curse when you don't do it God's way. And I'll be honest with you, as I'm preaching this, I can tell for some of us, this is a hard thing to handle, isn't it? But it's the truth. And one of the things that we are committed to at Portland Christian Center is developing people, and you don't develop people without the truth. I'm not going to be up here candy coating and say, oh, you know, it's okay, and just watch people pour oil over their engines and destroy their lives. We must speak the truth in love. So as lovingly as I can say this, please stop pouring oil on your engine. In other words, if you are listening to me saying, well, I don't know if I should or not. No. God has a purpose with the tithe. And here's the second one. You ready? Tithing, first of all, tests your gratitude. But the second thing it will test is your obedience. It's one thing to know the right thing to do and another thing to actually do it. I mean, I've told one of my boys, Titus, I said, Titus, you got to clean your room, make your bed. And I come in there and it's not made. I said, Titus, did you know what to do? Absolutely. But it's not done. I'll get to it. Now, we've never done that, have we? Never. Tithing tests your obedience. Now, whenever we're asked to obey, and it's something maybe we're struggling with obeying, if you're like me, we kind of get into this negotiation with God or debating or maybe with the Bible, and we want to argue, is tithing actually scriptural? Is it biblical? I mean, that's the Old Testament, right? There's no way that could be for today. In fact, I even heard a person make an argument. They said this, that, oh, we don't have to live by the tithe anymore because when Jesus came, he fulfilled the law and established a new covenant. Therefore, I don't have to tithe anymore. Woo! And then I have to point out to them that tithing actually predates the law. And since it was before the law, it doesn't go out the same way some of the parts of the law do when Jesus came. Genesis 14, if you have your Bibles, I'll show you right in Scripture. And I'm going to prove to you right now this morning that tithing is biblical and for today. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And if you're writing notes, you can write that down. By the way, something that we don't usually talk about, I failed to mention, if you ever want notes to like take notes with, at the Hub, we actually have papers of notes that has my big idea and scriptures. You can take notes during the whole service. Did you know that? Well, now you do. All right, here we go. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and the priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. What's a tenth? The tithe. Tithe simply means tenth. This passage took place 500 years before the law was given. What does that mean? It means that the tenth or the tithe is a principle, not a law that can be thrown away with. Not a law that can be abolished. It's simply a principle. I'll give you another one just for good measure. Genesis 28:22. Genesis 28:22, it says this. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a what? A tenth of everything he gives me. This is God speaking to Jacob. This was 400 years before the law was given. And then just one more, just for fun. Leviticus 27:30 says this. One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. Do you understand that? I read that verse. If you have your Bibles or if you have your things, I want you to just circle this part where it says, to him as holy. Why am I saying that? Holy means to be set apart. I don't think we always see it that way. But when you get paid, hopefully you have a job, there's a test of your obedience. The first 10% is to be set aside for the Lord, to be set apart, because it's what? Holy. We serve a holy God. And I think sometimes we can get in this kind of like, this is okay, it's cool, whatever, whatever. No, there needs to be a righteousness and a holiness when we give. There's something that happens inside of you and me when I understand how pure and holy tithing really is. When we give, Myla and I, we tithe and we give our offerings, but one of the things that happens is we get paid on the 1st and the 15th. And every time we get paid, I go online, and I go and I type in, and we pay to the Oregon Ministry Network. That's where all the pastors tithe. And we tithe there. And then we're offerings and other things that's above that. It comes here to Portland Christian Center. And as I'm doing it, I'm praying. And I say, Lord Jesus, this is yours. And I bless this offering in Jesus' name. And I hit enter. It's not quite as exciting. I don't know. It's just think. And then you're done, right? So we pay our tithes. But this last one, the Lord challenged me to do something. He said, I want you to thank me for this. And so I started just saying, Lord, thank you for this offering. Thank you for this opportunity. And something weird happened. I've not had this happen before in my kitchen giving a tithe. I started smiling. I was just this weirdest moment. I was like, I don't even know. It's like the Lord just says, like, you're smiling. Come on. Some of you are struggling with smiling. Let's work on this. Smiling, it's my favorite. But I started smiling, and I realized that the Lord says he loves a cheerful giver, but when we give to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will put joy in your heart because you're partnering in obedience, and you're not doing it like, oh, I got to tithe again. No, no, no. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And when you give to him, it's holy, it's beautiful, and it fills your heart with joy. And I wasn't faking it. I wasn't trying to, nobody was in the room. Like nobody was to say, oh, good job, Pastor Nate, you smiled. You had joy. I want to thank me for the joy. No one was doing that. It just happened. And as we grow in maturity, as we learn to give, and it's funny, as I'm talking to some people are like, yeah, Pastor Nate, I've heard this, I've heard this. But when was the last time just by giving you smiled? Sometimes our giving needs to move 18 inches from our head to our heart. Say, Lord, this is all yours, I just give it to you. Thank you for the breath in my lungs. Now you might be here and you're like, man, Pastor Nate, thanks for proving that in the Old Testament. That's cool. But as I read the New Testament, I'm not sure, you know, like it says, grow in the grace of giving. I understand that. But what if Jesus wanted me to tithe? Then I would be okay with it. I'm so glad you asked. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew 23, verse 23. Someone told me to repeat myself at least three times so they have time to turn to the page. So that was twice. Matthew 23:23. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is speaking. He says this: "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law: justice, mercy, and faith." Now, if you stop there, you might think, oh, Jesus is okay with me not tithing and just doing justice, mercy, and faith. We got to read the whole verse. What does it say? You should tithe. Yes. Wait, who said that? Oh, come on now. So don't get quiet on me now. Who said that? Jesus said you should tithe. And then he says, but do not neglect the more important things. What are those more important things? Justice, mercy, and faith. Tithing is a biblical principle that tests your obedience. Tithing is a biblical principle that tests your obedience from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. This is a principle that will test your obedience. So there's two tests I've talked to you about. We're going to do the third one. What was the first test? Anybody remember the test of what? Gratitude. Very good. What's the second test? Obedience. And here's the third one: is tithing is a test of your worship. Of your worship. Tithing is a form of worship because it shows God you trust Him, not money to provide. Did you hear what I said? That you trust that God will provide. There's a story in the Old Testament in Genesis 22 where Abram just finally has his son, Isaac. He'd been praying for him, and him and Sarah had this miraculous child, and they're so excited, and God says, I want you to take him up the mountain and sacrifice him. What? Anybody else shocked by this? Now, I'm pretty sure he didn't ask Sarah. I mean, if he would have asked her, I'm sure she would have probably had a fit or something, right? Like, excuse me, Abraham. You've lost your marbles, buddy. But she grabs him and goes all the way up, and they're getting ready to sacrifice. He puts Isaac on the altar. Isaac obeys. He lays down. He ties him up. And just as he's about to take the knife and sacrifice his son, it says this: then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught up by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in his place of his son. The angel shows up and says, don't do it! And there's a ram there. And Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. Another way to translate that is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Let me ask you a question. When you're doing your budget and things don't seem to add up, who's going to provide for you? The Lord will provide. When you're going to work and you're worried about different things and you're stressing, what's the test? What's the test? Who are you going to worship, money or God? Why? Because He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the one that provides. So this is what it looks like. I work as if it depends on me, but I pray and I worship because I know it ultimately depends on God. And so as I'm going to work, and I'm not sure how they're gonna pan out. This is tomorrow morning, Monday. I'm gonna challenge you right now. You ready? You might wanna write this down so you don't forget it. Monday morning, on your way to work, turn worship music on, and I want you to say, Jehovah Jireh, my provider! I dare you to shout it in your car. You can send me a video. Why? Why am I telling you to do that? Because worship changes the atmosphere. Worship changes the atmosphere of your heart. Worship will change the atmosphere of this building. Why do we spend time and money and effort to worship God? Because He changes everything. He is my provider. Some of you need to hear this morning because you're facing an obstacle. You're like, man, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make this. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He's faithful. He's with you. And He will provide the sacrifice. And when you trust Him, when you pass the test, look what happens in Abraham's life, verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because what? You have given $1 million. You have given 2 pennies. You've given 17 goats and a lamb. And maybe 2 doves. No. It's because you've obeyed me. It's as simple as that, church. When God speaks, we obey. And I've got to just say this as a pastor who loves you. I'm trying to be careful how I say it. I want to say it without throwing stones at any other church or any other ministry. I want you to hear my heart. Here's what I want you to know. We are not preaching a prosperity gospel. We are giving to give, not giving to get. We are giving to give. God will bless us. And yes, there's joy and prosperity in that, but it's the heart motivation behind it. We give because it's all His anyways. It's obedience. Yes, there's blessing. And the reason I say that is because oftentimes what happens is you will start tithing and it doesn't go easy. The blessed life, what we're teaching today, is not saying that you have an easier life. Everything will be simple and just like Mayberry all over again. For those of us that know what that reference is. You see, what often happens is the enemy tries to push you even harder right there, but that's when you're on the verge of breakthrough. Because you'll start giving, and next thing you know, you have to call a plumber because something broke. You'll be like, yeah, God isn't faithful. No. It's a test. You have to see it. It's a test. It's a two-way test. God will bless. So the question is not, will opposition come? The question is, what do you do when that opposition comes? And I want to read this to you. When we respond well to opposition, the opportunity for God to move comes. When we respond well to opposition, the opportunity for God to move comes. Worship is one of the most beautiful ways that you can pass the test, through giving. When I give, it's an act of worship. When I give, it's an act of worship. Before I go to the next part, I'm going to have the worship team come up. And I want to ask, Pastor Jason, would you stand right where you are? Damien, will you stand right where you are? Is that okay? And Gary, would you stand? Thank you. You don't have to do anything else but just stand there. And I saw Pastor Robert Morris, who we're basing this series on. He did this illustration. It really helped me, and I hope it helps you. But Gary, you got a great head of hair, my man. Great job. All right, Damien, you and I, we're going to hug it out later. It's cool. Pastor Jason, you got a great head of hair, too. What in the world? All right, Lord, bless them with more. Amen. Okay. All that, we got that out of the way. All right, we're good. But I'm about to go on a trip. And I'm going to be gone for about 3 months. Each month, I'm going to give each and every one of you $10,000. $10,000. Now, while I'm gone, my wife, Mayel, someone whom I love, you each are responsible to give her a tenth of that. So each month, there better be $1,000 as I go away. So I go away, and I call Mayel, and I'm like, hey, Mayel, how's it going? And she's like, oh, it's good, it's good. Boys are crazy. Things are good. I said, okay, well, hey, did Damien's $1,000 come in? And she said, oh, yeah, Damien tied the $1,000. That's great. Awesome. Good job, Damien. Passed the test. All right. And then I said, well, what about, you know, Jason's? How'd that go? He gave $2,000. Whoa. Wow, okay. Way to go. And then I said, well, what about Gary? How'd he do? She goes, well, I haven't got a check from Gary. Sorry, Gary. It's okay. And I said, really? Now, as we look at them, $10,000 each. That's what you've been entrusted with. In the Bible, the church is a metaphor. One of the metaphors for the church is the bride of Christ. God has entrusted all of us with a certain amount of money. Will you take care of the bride of Christ? Mael's my bride. I love her. Don't you think it means a lot to me when someone else helps and obeys? I wonder how Jesus feels when he's entrusted us with so much, and yet we fail to take care of the bride. You guys can sit down. Give it up for him. Gary, I'll give you a hug later. Poor guy had no idea. Would you stand with me, everyone? Sorry, Jason. I'm getting your workout in. You're the bride of Christ. You're deeply loved. And you and I, we have a test. Your gratitude, who will you thank? Your obedience, who will you obey? Your worship, who will you worship? All of this is a test. And I want you to look at me for just a moment. I want you to put your hand on your heart just for a second. Just for a second, put your hand on your heart. And why am I doing that? I believe God wants to use every single one of you with your hand on your heart greatly. I believe God wants to use every single person with their hand on their heart. He wants to use you greatly. He wants to use you mightily. He wants to fill you with his power, with his grace and his love, to put a spirit of grace in your heart so that you can go out and live your life full of anointing and power. Monday morning, Jehovah Jireh. But I want you to hear this quote from A.W. Tozer. As you, with your hand over your heart, God never uses anyone greatly until he tests them deeply. God never uses anyone greatly until he tests them deeply. Tithing is a deep test of the heart. It's a test of worship. When we pass the test of tithing, you see God's purposes at hand. What do you see? You see grateful people. You see obedient people. You see people that know how to worship. You don't have to teach grateful people how to worship. They just do. And right now, this morning, if I could have our ushers go ahead and come down. And we're going to do offering a little bit differently. It's going to be part of worship. And as you're getting ready to give this morning, whether you give online or you give, there's multiple ways to give. We'll have them up on the screen. You can text it in. You can go on the app. But I want to show you something that's really important. Don't pass the buckets yet, guys. Go ahead and come all the way to the front. I'm going to pray over the buckets before we pass. If you could put up on the screen, there should be something on the side. There we go. We're going to practice something called transparency. Who likes transparency? That means that we're going to be authentic with where we are financially. So if you look up there, September's budget was $178,000. Our actual right now is $144,578. That means that we're at 81% of the budget this month. Today's the last day of the month. I'm sorry, last Sunday of the month. For all of the people that enjoyed dotting the I's and crossing the T's, today is not the last day of the month, it's the last Sunday of the month. So we still have time, but why am I showing you this? Because we take stewardship at Portland Christian Center very seriously. We have a finance committee, we have a deacon board, and we look at the numbers and the money every single week. And you know what we also do? We pray for our church. We pray for you. We pray that you would be obedient. We pray that your heart would be changed. We pray that God would transform you. Why? Because I want to see all of us pass the test. And watch what God does. He says, test me. So last week we handed out those cards. Did you guys remember those cards? There's a 90-day tithe challenge. There's some in the back seat. I want everyone to grab one. Here's why. I didn't dot the I. No, just kidding. But there's this box for those that have never tithed before. You can start tithing. We had over 40 people sign up last week to start tithing. Isn't that amazing? So good. But I realized What about all the ones that are tithing? Don't you want to participate? Yeah. So I gave a second box on this card. So there's a new card in all your seats, and I want you to grab it. Or you can grab your phones, actually. You can go on the app as well, or you can go on the website, and you can fill it out and check the box. Come on, music, don't leave me alone. Let's go. Keep playing. Come on, Patrick. Bring it for me. There we go. We're losing the music. All right. There we go. Man, you're doing a good job. Let's give it up for Patrick. You're doing a great job, Patrick. You're doing a great job. So you can scan the QR code for the 90-Day Tithe Challenge. If you're online, you can do that. Here's why we're doing this. I want you to catch this. The primary job of a pastor is to equip the saints for the works of ministry. My job is to equip you. I can't force you to obey, but I can show you the way that the Bible teaches. And this is the way the Bible teaches. Here's your test. It's your opportunity. And I just believe that we have a church that's ready to flourish. And so here's what happens after you fill out this card and you drop it in. You can drop in the offering bucket with your tithes and offerings, or you can put it in the box on the way out, or you can give online, however you do this. Here's why I'm telling you all of these things. I believe in God's word. I believe in God's promises. I have seen God be faithful in my life, in Mayel's life. She can tell you story after story where we didn't know how we're gonna make it, but God provided over and over and over. God provides. God provides. But if we don't follow his principles, we are the ones that suffer the consequences. So that's my responsibility. I want to equip you. I love you. There's no guilt. There's no shame, no condemnation. This isn't about us needing anything. This is about all of us, every single one of you. We need to be tithing. We need God's blessing in our lives. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to extend your hands towards the buckets and our ushers who are up here. We're going to bless the offering. And we're going to pray that this would multiply. Why? Because we're doing a great work at Portland Christian Center. We're seeing souls saved. We saw 21 people get baptized on one day. And we have another baptism coming at the end of the month. We want to see 50 people total get baptized this year. Amen. That's what we're giving to. We're giving to the mission of God. Amen. I'm going to get excited and preach again. Let's pray. All right, Lord, I pray for the buckets. These are symbols of people giving and tithing and being generous. And I pray right now by the power of God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill us with joy as we give this morning, as we write on these cards that we're going to continue to give. We're going to be faithful. Or maybe some of you that say, man, I'm going to start today. I have not been living my life the way I've not been obeying. I have not had the spirit of gratitude. I have not worshiped God with my giving. Today's the day. No more condemnation, no more fear, no more guilt. And for those that are trying to figure out, man, how am I going to make this make ends meet? God, give them the courage to step out in faith and watch what you're going to do. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap. Go ahead and pass the, there we go. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. As we end the service today, what we're going to do, as the buckets are going, we're going to worship God. Once the buckets are passed, would you just enter into a time of worship? Doesn't he deserve your praise? How good is our God? He's amazing. He's our provider. Come on, lift your hands with me, unless you're grabbing a bucket, sorry. Lift your hands with me. Let's worship Jesus. Tell him how much you love him. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I worship you. You are King. You are Lord. Let's get ready to sing this song. Pastor Christelle, will you sing it out for us this morning? Come on, with our hands raised.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.